Blog Talk Radio.
Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. I want to thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Well, for about the last week, I have been battling quite a virus and a sinus infection, but here I am. I'm not going to give in because I love doing this. And I want to be here for you today. I'm continuing on a series I began this past Monday on the book of Daniel, An Uncompromising Life, specifically talking about Daniel and his leadership in captivity as a statesman, as an heir to the king, as someone who is using his life of integrity for the glory of God. Now, today I want to continue that series talking about the uncompromising life of Daniel the prophet and his life of prayer. Now, I'm not doing the entire book of Daniel with the prophecies, but I'm zeroing in on the target of the lifestyle that God calls us to live as Christians, a lifestyle of not compromising with our culture, and not compromising with the ways of the world that would like to strangle us, capture us, transform us. You know, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we see here in the book of Daniel what a life of non-compromise will actually look like. Today, I want to read to you from Daniel chapter 6, and talk to you about the priority prayer in the life of Daniel. If it's true that prayer is like breathing, then you ask yourself this simple question: how long can you go without breathing? And I think the answer is pretty simple: not very long, and you will die. Well, if we look at prayer in the same way, then we will not have a mediocre life of prayer. But rather, we will have a life of prayer, that intimate talk and time with God on an ongoing basis. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, down around verse 18, pray without ceasing. What? Without ceasing? But I have a life, God. I wish I could do that, but I'm not physically able. Well, but you have to understand the intention of that verse. It doesn't mean that you constantly are praying and never taking time out for anything else. What that means is to have a lifestyle, an attitude of prayer always. You can be at your work, you can be in the car, and you think of that time of intimacy with God, and you may utter a few sentences. Let's say you're thinking of a friend that's battling cancer, and you just take a few moments to just say, God, bring hope and healing. And you see, you're praying, you're having an attitude of prayer, you're having a heart dedicated to prayer. And so this is an ongoing thing in the Christian life. Pray without ceasing. In the situation of Daniel, I want to talk to you this morning about the priority of prayer. We've seen that the children of Israel have been brought into Babylonian captivity about the year 597 BC. King Nebuchadnezzar is on the throne, and he is taking Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Babylonian names, and he wants to train them in the Babylonian pagan philosophy. However, Daniel and his Hebrew friends have said, no, we are not going down that road, O king, and we will not eat the food dedicated to pagans. We will not learn the lifestyle dedicated to paganism. And Daniel says, we will not compromise. And we saw in chapter 1 what happened. There was a contest, and Daniel and his friends won without compromising. And the king was impressed with their dedication to their God. In chapter 2, we see Daniel interpreting the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar when no one in his magical court could do it. The magicians, the soothsayers, the astrologers could not. But God favored Daniel's uncompromising life and gave Daniel the interpretation of the king's dream. We see in Daniel chapter 3 where a decree was made that everyone in the kingdom must bow down and worship the statue made in the honor of King Nebuchadnezzar. And whoever did not bow down and worship would be cast into a fiery furnace. Well, Daniel and his friends, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, were ordered to bow down to this image. They refused to do it. And they were going to be thrown into the furnace of fire, and they declared, we will not compromise. We will not commit this idolatrous sin. And if our God chooses to, he will save us. But even if he doesn't, we refuse to compromise. And we saw them thrown in the fiery furnace. But Daniel and his friends were unscathed and unburned. It says there was a fourth man in the furnace. And even King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished that that fourth man was the angel of the Lord, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. And he decreed that Daniel's God is to be feared and to be reverenced. So we saw the result of an uncompromising life. And here in chapter 6, the magicians, the soothsayers, the government officials want to do their best to discredit and destroy Daniel. And we're going to see what they will do. Daniel chapter 6, it pleased Darius to set up over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found within him. Wouldn't you love that your life would shine so brightly that even your enemies would be at peace with you, the Bible says, because you lived a life of such integrity and blameless before God? The children of Israel and Daniel are in their 60th year of captivity. Daniel's about 80 years old now. And the testimony of Daniel is this: they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful. This is the man of God who will not surrender or compromise, and God gives him great favor. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find in it connection with the law of his God." Then these presidents, the satraps, came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. What they are saying is, look, we cannot find any error or any flaw in this man Daniel, but we can get him. We can conspire against him. We know that he prays diligently every day to his God. So what we will do is force the king to sign a kingdom-wide injunction against prayer, that no one for 30 days can petition their God except King Darius. And we know that Daniel will not obey this. So therefore, we have Daniel exactly where we want him. Doesn't this remind you of something going on just today? The liberal left, the hate Trump crowd, is doing everything they can to discredit and delegitimize our president. And they will stop at nothing to do whatever it takes to have him impeached. In the same way, this is the plot against Daniel. When Daniel knew that the document had been assigned, what does Daniel do? He went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Daniel was a man of dedication and prayer. He dedicated himself. He prayed toward Jerusalem, the holy city, or the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, which is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king established can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." The king looked up to Daniel. He loved Daniel. He could not in any way deny the favor of God upon Daniel. And Daniel, a man of prayer, even though there was a royal command and an edict not to pray for 30 days, Daniel, because he loved his God, and because he would not compromise, and because he knew their plot, had set his heart toward Jerusalem, saying, "O Lord, in the midst of my captivity, you have been faithful to deliver us from the fiery furnace, because we would not blaspheme and bow down before the statue of the king Nebuchadnezzar. And now you've given me favor with King Darius, but I refuse to obey this edict because I love you, O God. I have an intimate relationship with you, O God. Your decrees and your word, O God, are more important than my life, and I refuse to bow down and obey this edict. I will pray to you. I will do what is pleasing in your eyes." Daniel would not budge from his commitment. And so, a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of a den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. This king could not go against his own decree and law. It was set in stone. And so he took Daniel to the lion's den and set a stone in front of it. Isn't this reminiscent of what they did to Jesus? They laid a stone in front of it, a 2,000-pound stone, as Jesus was laid inside the tomb. Then, at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. May God, my God, has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. We can see that the king is enraged at the malicious plot against Daniel. He's exceedingly rejoicing that God has rescued Daniel, that he sent an angel to stop the mouth of the lions. And in anger, he throws those that created this plot and this deceit against Daniel. He had them cast into the lion's den, them and their families, and they were devoured. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and language that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I made a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius in the reign of the Cyrus the Persian. It is incredible what a life of integrity, a life of uncompromise will do. Even in the face of the enemies of the Christians, look at what God does to vindicate his servant who says to his captors, I will not obey your decree not to pray. I will not fall down and bow down to this statue of gold. I will obey my don't survive, even if he fails to rescue me. And Daniel's convictions, dedication, and uncompromise shines before the God of heaven and earth. And Daniel's life is spared and saved. God has a purpose in Daniel's life, as we've seen. But the point I want to make is that in the life of prayer, when we refuse to compromise and give in to the deceit of our culture, God will vindicate us. He will use our prayers to shape his plans, to change history, to uproot and destroy kingdoms. God is pleased with the Christian's life and dedication to prayer. And in the same way, I believe that those deceitful workers of iniquity that have risen up against Donald Trump, whom God has decreed be our president, their plans and their schemes will fail, not because Donald Trump is perfect, but because Donald Trump has declared that he will serve our God and he will worship our God, that he is a president that cares for his people, that cares for the life of the unborn. He cares for the American people, and he is God's chosen man for the hour. And those deceitful workers that have plotted to discredit him, God says their plans will fail. Mark my words, their plans will fail, just as they failed against Daniel the prophet. And this is so important that you understand this. So important this morning. What does this say about you and me? That if we dedicate our life to not compromising, and we say to God, I will pray from my heart, not out of a spirit of legalism, but I dedicate my life as a life of prayer to you, Lord. I want your will in my life. I want your favor on my life. When we show our dedication to God with no compromise, he reaches down in, from heaven and even causes our enemies to be at peace with us. And he promotes us. He gives us favor because we have set our face like flint toward Jerusalem, like Daniel did, and have decided my life cannot be compromised. My life is a dedication. It's an offering of glory to you, O Lord. I will pray, and I will not cease. I want you to hear a very important song that describes what we've been talking about today. This is Petra and Praying Man. the incredible Christian worship music of Petra, with a very important theme for today's teaching, Praying Man. In conclusion, I want to urge you, and I want to motivate you to have an uncompromising life of integrity like Daniel, especially in the area of prayer. Because if prayer is like breathing, we can't live without it. God wants to have that special, intimate relationship with you and me. And when we pray in obedience to God, He will shape history, change kingdoms through our faithful praying. God bless you. I'll see you next Monday on another edition of The Cross in the Desert. Have an incredible weekend.
That great